This is the message from Connection Community Church for Sunday, September 15th, 2024, the Romans Road, stop number 3. The gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Well, good morning, Connection Church. So good to be with you this beautiful Sunday morning. Give us the opportunity to celebrate and praise our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 Good to be with each and every one of you. Today we continue our journey down the Romans Road. Romans Road consists of verses of Scripture from the book of Romans found in the New Testament, which help explain the plan of salvation of faith in through faith in Jesus Christ. 2 weeks ago, Barry started us, by the way, great job, Barry, with stop number 1, found in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Last week, stop number 2, was Romans 5:8. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And so this morning, we're going to be looking at stop number 3 on the Roman road, on the Romans Road.
Good morning, Connection. Good morning. My name is Carrie Jones.
I'm Alan Jones.
And we are two sinners who have been saved by the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It is great to be with you. Hey, everybody online, it's good to know that you're out there as well. Let's pray. Almighty God, thank you so much for today. Thank you for the opportunity to share truth of your word. Thank you for gathering us here, whether it's in person or virtually. Settle us in wherever we are. Lord, help us remove any distractions around us so that we can really have some laser focus on you and on your scripture and how to apply it to our lives. We thank you. We praise you in the name of God, our Father, Jesus Christ, your Son, and the power of the Holy Spirit. Everybody agreed and said,
amen.
Amen.
Amen. So Romans Road stop number 3 is found in Romans 6:23. Say it with me, will you? For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Wow, that's a pretty big scripture. Let's take it apart bit by bit. Let's start with the word wages. For the wages of sin is death. What does that mean? Well, wages is, you know, you make money for what you do. Wages, the Greek word for this is opsonian. Why do we look at the Greek in this? Well, when it was written to speak to the culture of the time. It still speaks to us today, but it was so that people could understand what this scripture was in the translation, and it means a soldier's pay or allowance. And so back in the time that this was written, people were really familiar with the soldiers, as we are as well. But why a soldier's pay? Well, a soldier's pay is not at the whim of the employer, or the solvency of a company that one's working for. A soldier's pay is a pretty sure thing. The government, you know, awards that payment. The government pays the soldiers really based on the fact that they are willing to risk their life. And so the wage, the soldier's pay, was backed by the government. Opsonian was a pretty sure thing.
The Opsonian was the sure wages of sin then, the almost guaranteed wage of sin, and in fact it is the guaranteed wage of sin, is death. Not a maybe, it's a certainty. It's a certainty, a sure thing. Sin equals death. No ifs, ands, or buts. You sin, you die. And the death we're talking about here is not the quit breathing, heart stop pumping, brain stop sending signals, you're not moving anymore kind of death. That's not what we're talking about here. The death we're talking about here is death of the soul. Say, death of the soul.
Death of the soul.
death of the Son. Eternal separation from God. Roll that around in your brain for a minute. Just imagine ever being not close to God, ever being separated from the Creator of all things. That's the paycheck that one earns when sin is in the picture. And we're not given that. We earn that paycheck. It's just not given to us for no reason. We earn it. It was our doing through our efforts or our lack of effort that we die from the wages of sin. We earn it.
For the wages of sin is death, but... There's that word again. We've used it each week, three weeks in a row in the scripture. It's such an important word because what comes next is completely opposite. For the wages of sin is death, but we know something good is coming. But the gift of God is eternal life. Don't you feel like, wages of sin is death, but... There's such good news ahead for us. There's another choice other than this paycheck that we've earned and this gift of God. Gift. It's like, here you go. It's a gift. The Greek word for gift is charisma. You might have heard that before. Charisma really means grace or favor in Greek. The dictionary tells us that charisma was originally used in Christian context to refer to a gift bestowed upon an individual by the Holy Spirit.
Mm. And so this gift, it's just the opposite of what we were talking before, where the wages were earned. This gift isn't earned like a wage. It's not deserved like a paycheck. It's just that, a gift. A gift. Given willingly to someone without payment. It's a present, no strings attached. And not only is it a gift, it's a great gift. It's a great gift. You know, there are gifts of all kinds, and then there are great gifts. Think through your lifetime, where there are a couple gifts that you just like, yes! You know, a lot of things have been given to you, but those couple of gifts that you go, oh, and you still remember them, maybe 5, 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years later. That was a great gift. You know what makes for a great gift? Here's my definition for great gifts. First, it's freely given. You know, no expectation of return. It's not in response to something given to you. You know how, like, at Christmas time, somebody stops by with a gift and you didn't get them something? And you scurry around the house trying to come up with something because you feel funny them giving you something. It's not one of those kind of scrounge around the house and find it kind of things. You know what I'm saying? No. This is a great intentional gift, freely and lovingly given.
And so the second thing that makes a gift a great gift is that it's extravagant. Extravagant, something that the receiver may want but would never really get for himself or herself. It goes over and above that obligatory, oh my gosh, I've got a Whitman sampler over here, let me give them that kind of thing.
Although that is a pretty good gift.
It is. Now, extravagant gift doesn't mean that it costs a lot. That's not what this is. It could mean something that you've spent a lot of time or energy picking out or making. It has deep meaning to the one who's receiving.
Third, a great gift should have something of the receiver in it. You know, one of those gifts, you know, when the person opens it, you know immediately that you hit a home run. You know what I'm talking about, right? Their face, their whole expression just exudes, wow, wow. It's a gift that shows you know the receiver well enough that it just connects with them.
And finally, a great gift has part of the giver in it. Maybe it's a gift that you've made for that person. So those are super special, or something that captures something about the giver and the receiver that they share. I mean, these precious things, it could be a remembrance, it could be a shared experience, it could be a memory. I was thinking about an example of that in my life. And after my dad passed away, his wife gave my sister and I and the grandchildren, but we got bigger ones, a bear made of my dad's flannel shirt. And so I just take that, and it's a piece of dad, and it was such a kind gift and a remembrance. So that is an example in my life of a great gift.
Absolutely. So my 70th birthday was just a little over a month ago, and I was overwhelmed with this great gift that I got from Carrie and my family. And it wasn't just the gift was an entire week of celebration, freely given, as there was no way I could ever pay back for what I received, extravagant, as there was something every single day from the week, from Megan, my daughter in Houston, her family joining us, to kids and their spouses taking off from work to be part of our daily events, to day of tubing and subs and crabs on the Bohemia River, to a night of a birthday party, filling our house with Phillies, a Phillies theme, a Phillies cake, Phillies decorations, a ballpark theme, members of my family with Phillies t-shirts, with on the back it's saying Dad or Poppy or Alan and the number of 70 on there. It was overwhelming. There was a part of me there throughout the week. It included things I really like and enjoy, most especially my family. And there was a part of the givers in it as they knew just what to do, and they used their talents and gifts to make it special. Yeah.
So as great as that gift was, and it was such a blessing to be able to surprise him day in and day out, and for all 19 of us, that's the size of our immediate family, to be together for that week, it really pales in comparison to the gift that Jesus gives us. It's, which also fits the criteria that we're talking about. The gift of Jesus, his love, that's freely given. There's nothing that we do to deserve that at all. There's no way for us to pay it back. You know, Jesus saying, here's a gift. Okay, here's a box of chocolate. I mean, what are we going to do? It's such a wonderful, wonderful gift, this love, this grace, this unconditionalness of the relationship. And certainly anytime somebody gives their life for another, wow, that's pretty big. It has a part of the receiver in it. Jesus knows each one of you, each one of us, by name. And he gives us the gift of his love, of his presence, of his never-ending everything. We're adopted into the family of God. I mean, does it get any better than that? Jesus put everything into that gift, his very life, for each one of it. It's the gift of all gifts. No other gift really could ever come close to that. And the gift is this eternal life that starts now with Jesus.
Eternal life. That means more than just life after death, a life that extends forever into the future. The eternal life talked about here is living through eternity in the presence of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And as Carrie said, it can start now. We don't have to wait to our last breath for it to begin. Our eternal life begins when we admit that we are sinners in need of a Savior. We admit that we can't save ourselves. When we believe Jesus died for those sins and invite him to come into our lives. When we give our lives over to Jesus. And even though eternal life can begin right here this morning. In the here and now, there's a difference in the there and then.
So when we draw our last breath, when our body ceases to function, there's something that happens. I can't explain it, but we know it. A transition takes place, this transformation. A transformation the likes of, that we can't even imagine or really describe at all. When we enter into this heavenly kingdom, nothing that we've seen or heard about can fully prepare us. That's what we do know. It's so incredible. It's unlike anything on this earthly experience. And that's why we find it hard to put words around it, although we certainly try. We get hints. We get glimpses. There's analogies from Scripture. But all of these help us hold on to something that we know, but it's hard to imagine.
I'm reading a book entitled Waking Up in Heaven, and the writer is Crystal McVeigh, and it's the story of a 32-year-old mother of four who went to the hospital for a routine procedure that ended up being anything but routine. Crystal does not remember what happened in that hospital room during the 9 minutes when she was unconscious and unable to breathe on her own. She only remembers drifting off and waking up in heaven. Here's a piece of what she shares.
And while I say God was on my right, and I had the sensation of turning to my right toward him, what I really experienced was the understanding that everything around me was of God. The light, the brightness, the angels, the communication, everything was a creation of God. I understood that I was part of him, and that's the moment I truly realized what being a creation of God truly means.
There was another sensation, a sensation that I wasn't just aware of God, I was feeling him. His radiance wasn't just simply something I could observe. It was something that overwhelmed every sense I had. In heaven, we don't just have five senses. We have tons of senses. Imagine a sense that allowed us to not only see light, but to also taste it. Imagine another sense that allowed us to touch and feel light. Imagine yet another sense that isn't taste or touch, but some new way to experience something, creating a more amazing and rewarding connection than any of our earthly senses allow.
I can only imagine.
You know that song?
What it will be like.
Yeah, I can't begin
when
to
I
imagine.
Walk by his side.
I can't
I
begin
wish we had
to
that
imagine.
Today.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Well, this gift of love, unconditional love, it may be free for us. It may be free, but it certainly is not cheap. It's not cheap. This gift came at a very high price. Jesus sacrificed his very own life for you and for me. He was hung on a cross to die. That's the nature of the sacrifice offered for sin. It required blood. It required the loss of life. And the greatest sacrifice offered for our sin met. It meets those requirements. And it was the last sacrifice, the last blood sacrifice to be offered. Once and for all, the price was paid for our sin. Christ paid the price we can't pay. Here's another but. But we have to believe. We need to believe. We are told this in Romans 10, verse 19. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Do you see that? We must believe the truth of what's in here. We're going to look at that verse, Romans 10, 9, in 2 more weeks in more detail.
The grace God offers, the love that God offers through Jesus Christ is free, but not cheap. The mid-20th century German theologian Dietrich Bonhoeffer shared in his book, The Cost of Discipleship, grace is free but not cheap. Here's what Bonhoeffer writes.
Cheap grace is the preaching of forgiveness without requiring repentance. Baptism without church discipline, communion without confession, absolution without personal confession. Cheap grace is grace without discipleship, grace without the cross, grace without Jesus Christ, living and incarnate.
Costly grace is the treasure hidden in the field. Remember that parable in the scripture? Treasure hidden in the field. For the sake of it, a man will go and sell all that he has. Another one of those sections in Scripture. It is the pearl of great price to buy which the merchant will sell all his goods. It's the kingly rule of Christ for whose sake a man will pluck out the eye which causes him to stumble. It is the call of Jesus Christ at which the disciple leaves his net, leaves everything, his entire who he was, and follows him, Jesus.
Costly grace is the gospel which must be sought again and again, the gift which must be asked for, the door at which a man must knock.
Such grace is costly. Follow this closely here, is costly because it calls us to follow, and it is grace because it calls us to follow what? Jesus Christ. It is costly because it costs a man his life. And of course, when he says man here, he means man and woman. Costs a man his life, and it is grace because it gives a man his only true life. It is costly because it condemns sin, and grace because it justifies the sinner. Above all, it is costly because it costs God the life of his Son. You were bought at a price. And what has cost God much cannot be cheap for us. Above all, it is grace because God did not reckon his Son too dear a price to pay for our life, but delivered him up for us. Costly grace is the incarnation of God.
Wow. So there's a lot there. That is like a lot of theology. That is huge. Barry, if you could post that quote in the message notes on the website, that would be great. If you want to take a look at that again and just meditate on that. So a lot of years ago, when we were in our old building, there were some young guys that came up to worship with us from Dover Air Force Base. And gosh, it was great to know them. We had them to our house for a meal kind of regularly after Sunday worship. And one of them was downstairs in the basement playing ping pong with somebody else from our church. And they were in this conversation about being saved. And this kid was, this guy, seemed to be a little bit bragging about his salvation. It didn't seem to limit his extracurricular activities. Let me put it that way. So his attitude seemed to be that his salvation was like this get out of jail, you know, get out of jail card, free, you're free, whatever that means. Okay, so our member pointed out that his thinking was faulty, that's not really the way it is. And that Jesus didn't mean, you know, I've saved you, so you're free to do whatever you want to do. It means to follow him. It means to live a life of obedience. It means to say, Jesus is Lord, and step away from those things that separate us from God. And he ended up looking at this member and saying, wow, thanks for ruining my salvation.
You see, that young man was a member of the Cheap Grace Club. Yeah. He thought God's grace in Jesus Christ gave him the freedom to do whatever he chose, rather than realizing that a relationship with Jesus Christ means that we try to live our lives as a reflection of the life of the one who died for us. Live our lives in obedience to what Jesus told us how we should live. You know, being imperfect human beings, we fall short of the standard that Jesus Christ set for us. But that doesn't mean we don't strive to be ever more like him. As believers, we don't view our salvation as something that allows us to do whatever we want, excusing whatever we do, a get out of jail free card, so to speak, for my do whatever I want behavior now. We see it as an invitation to see Christ as our mentor, our model, our example, the leader of our lives. He leads, we follow. And along the way, we repent and he forgives. Recognizing that we are sinners in need of a Savior, we must never forget that. And that Savior is Jesus Christ, our Lord. And here's the question for you. Do you know him? Do you know him? Do you really know him? Or are you a member of the Cheap Grace Club?
Ouch.
Have you opened this gift that he's given you? Have you asked him to be Lord of your life? You know, if you want to pursue that this morning, the steps are open for prayer, and it's a real simple thing. Lord, I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. I understand you're the Savior. Please come into my life. That's all it takes. Steps are open. You can pray at your seat. You can kneel at your seat. We have somebody to pray with you.
Yeah, Aaron and Kyle.
Aaron and Kyle in the back to pray with you. They would love to pray and just walk you through that. I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. I can't save myself. Lord, I understand you, Jesus, who you gave your life for me. Please come into my life. That's all it takes. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Eternal life here on earth, there in heaven. That's the good news. Let's live it. Let's believe it. Let's pray. Most holy God, please help us to never view this free grace as cheap. Because we know a high price was paid. A high price was paid for our forgiveness, and we didn't pay it. Please help us to ever realize that we're sinners in need of a Savior, and you're our Savior, that you gave your very life, that we might be with you through eternity. I pray that each one here this morning, Lord, has that personal relationship with you. And I pray those that don't really know you, right here today, would open their hearts and invite you in, would admit that they are a sinner in need of a Savior, recognize that you are the Savior, and invite you in to say, Lord, here I am. I accept this free gift that you've given. Please give me new life in you. We pray that change and transformation would happen today, Lord, in everyone here. And please help us, those who have accepted you, to every day recommit to you, Lord, to recognize each and every day that you are Lord of our lives. And that each and every day we won't walk around as though it's cheap grace, but we would recognize that we need you and we give our lives to you. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we pray this morning. All those gathered said, amen.
Thank you for listening to the message from Connection Community Church. For more information and to find out more about our ministries, you can visit us on our website at justshowup.church. You can also call our church offices at 302-378-7692. Thanks again for listening. Connection Community Church, connecting people with Jesus and the new life he offers. Thank you.